For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey man,
it is Dukes and Bell down at State Farm Arena. Turtle is in for Mike today, who is off. And it's been a fun afternoon down here. If you're making your way down here to State Farm tonight, it is Charlotte. They will be without Brandon Miller, one of their young stars. But the Hawks got off to a good start the other night. Steve Kuhn is going to stop by live at around 6:20. We'll talk to him about all the things that are going on with our team and much more. And by the way, you'll listen to this game tonight right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up at 5:40, you'll hear Mike and I's interview with Brad Guzan from yesterday as Atlanta United is in action in Miami tonight, the first leg of this three-game series with Miami. And if we're able to steal one, we could come home and finish this thing next Saturday, November 2nd. At Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But you got to handle business tonight. You'll hear what Brad had to say about the season and how crazy it's been. And Rob Valentino, the job he's done and all of that. That game tonight can be heard on Star 94. This weekend, this is what I know. The Falcons are going to handle business down in Tampa Bay. There's no way they're going to go down there and be flat as we saw them be last week at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I, unlike Turtle, have no concerns about the Falcons taking on the Bucs without their two top receivers. I'm not talking about the spread or any of that crap. All I'm telling you is the Falcons heading down to Tampa are in prime position to take care of business, and I think they will. Now, for all the doubters out there who don't have faith, and there are plenty of you who've said along the way today, oh, Dukes, you forgot who you were talking about. You're talking about the Falcons. Have some faith. You're concerned because we're still having issues getting to the quarterback. I don't have those concerns.
Six sacks in seven games, Carl Dukes. That would be 32nd out of 32 teams in the NFL. And Baker Mayfield is
numbers are for losers. You heard, Coach.
Yeah, stats are for losers. I get it, Coach. Here's the thing. Baker Mayfield is the exact type of quarterback you do not want to face when you're having these sorts of issues, especially when he's looking to throw to guys that he's not used to throwing to. He's going to be playing backyard football this entire game. If the Falcons are going to try to pressure him, he's going to just whoop, 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 go outside to the left, outside to the right, as we've seen him do countless times against the Falcons before. And that, Carl Dukes, scares me because then you're asking your cover guys to cover for way too long. Plays break down, guys separate, and then anything can happen. I'm not saying they won't win the game. I'm not saying they shouldn't
win
the game.
Doesn't sound that way to me.
I'm just saying last week's 20-point blowout loss at home to an inferior opponent gave me some pause when these same issues are cropping up again.
You don't replace Mike Evans, a future Hall of Famer. You don't replace Chris Godwin. They have other injuries that they're dealing with, and just from an offensive standpoint, this is a team that scored 30 on us a couple of weeks ago when we beat them in overtime, 36-30. That's not the same team we're going to see on Sunday. With all due respect, and I do respect Baker Mayfield, because he not only beat us last year, he's shown the ability to beat better teams this year in the NFL. Listen, he was the number one overall pick. Whether you think he's any good or not, he certainly has the ability to do that. But it's still about the dudes that are out there. And let me say this. This whole thing about next man up, I'm so over this whole next man up. You hear everybody talk about it. Raheem Morris was asked this question this week. He says this goes back to his Tampa days when he was there, okay? Mike Tomlin was an assistant. He's there. Rob Marinelli is there. And they start talking about next man up. But I want you to hear some of the names that he drops along the way here as he's talking about the next man up. If the next man up was that good, he'd be starting. Let me hear Coach Ra.
Yeah, I do. Actually, it was the National Football League. It was Ryan Marinelli. And there was just the mentality that we had in that D-line room, whether it was Sapp, whether it was Simeon Rice, whether it was Greg Spiers, whether it was Tarchick Darby, whether it was Anthony McFarlane. That whole D-line just had that next man up mentality. So they were able to roll those guys and put them out there. And it wasn't in an injury-based format. It was just whoever was on the grass at the time had to get that job done that was required to get done. And Ellis Wims, I hate to miss any of those guys that we had up in that rotation. But it was all guys that went out there to do a job, and they had their jobs to do. And they went went and did it at a very high level with the man that was coaching those guys, and Rod Marinelli, as he stood on the sideline and screamed, "Get off the rock." And it was something that was absolutely just ingrained in my head right from the beginning, coming into the National Football League. That's the way it's got to be. And it just carried throughout the building that I was with Mike Tomlin coaching the secondary, with Joe Barry coaching the linebackers, with Monty Kiffin leading our defense. It just became the mentality that we had on defense.
Okay, first of all, great coaching staff. That's why they won a Super Bowl. Secondly, half the line he just mentioned are in the Hall of Fame. Warren Sapp, and you're talking about next man up. Simeon Rice, you're talking about Booger McFarland? Come on. Ra, I hear you. But listen, last night is a prime example, guys. As you relate this to the Falcons, you should have a lot of faith for us to go down there and handle business. We will not be flat. Puka Nacua was back last night for Matthew Stafford. Cooper Kupp was 100% in back. Both of these guys, Nacua had over 100 yards on 9 targets and 7 receptions. Cooper Kupp had a touchdown, 5 balls for 51 yards. It was a different offense for the Rams. So stop fearing what might happen and old Baker Mayfield's going to run around and play backyard football. Turtle, I can't even look at you right now.
Carl Dukes, Trey Palmer would like a word.
Who?
Jalen McMillan would like a word. Cade.
These has-beens.
Cade Otton is going to catch 9 balls for 112 yards and a touchdown. Ball.
You wouldn't even know him if he passed you on the street.
If they're not careful, if they cannot get to Baker in a reasonable fashion, which they haven't
strip
done
sack.
At Carl, they've played 7 games and have 6 sacks. How, Sway? I mean, it's unbelievable.
Strip sack.
You can't count on Kirk Cousins to throw for 500 yards again.
And I don't count him. I don't expect him to have to do that. I just wish you had a little bit more faith instead of worrying about Baker playing backyard football with bums that we've never heard of.
What about last week's
we've never heard of?
What about last week's 20-point blowout loss at home to an inferior Seattle Seahawks team gives you confidence right now?
They had a down day. I mean, what do you want? They had a down day. That's all I can tell you. This won't be the case because this puts us in sole position of first place. If you don't look at this situation and go, wait a minute, they're without him, and you go down there and you play like you are talking about, then we got a bigger problem.
That's what I'm afraid of. That's what I'm afraid of.
Don't be afraid. Turtle, have some confidence.
To quote Randy Mack, if you trick this one off in Tampa.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to be having a very different conversation on Monday.
Yeah, right.
We're not going to be talking about playoff seeding.
Man, Randy's always talking about tricking things off, isn't he? It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What do you think? I mean, some of y'all seem like y'all scared out there. It's like, I want to believe, but I can't believe. Why not? This is our division to lose.
Because we have it, Carl. We're going on 7 years without the playoffs, my guy.
Well, yes.
That's why you don't believe.
But this team, you've got to base every year on the team you're watching. Don't base this on the first year of Arthur Smith's tenure.
No, that's not what you're trying to do.
This team is different.
Hang on. You base it on that because it's the same damn issue this year that it has been the last 5 years, Carl. You can't sack the damn quarterback.
This team is winning. Those teams weren't winning. Those teams were barely 500.
They're a game over 500 right now. They'll be at 500 if they trick this one off.
Let me hear Kirk Cousins talking about when you come off of a bad loss, traditionally what happens. Let me hear our quarterback.
Probably utter fear of failing again. No, I think there's a motivator there of when your back's against the wall, you better come out swinging.
And
I've never felt safe in my football journey. I've never felt like I figured it out. I've never felt like I've arrived. And so when you have a tough performance, it only drives those feelings home even more. And whatever has to lock in or heighten or be tightened down tends to happen. It's not usually a good feeling, and it's not something I want to have to play well, but certainly it can do that.
come out swinging, hungry. He wants to eat like Kirby. This is what we're talking about.
Well, I need
after a bad performance.
Now, I need Arnold Ebiketie to come out hungry, Carl. We just lost Lorenzo Carter to the IR. I need Zach Harrison to come out hungry. I need Matthew Judon with 1.5 sacks for 7 games to come out hungry.
Well, maybe it'll happen. But that's not going to be the reason why we lose the game.
Oh, no?
It's not.
Oh, no?
Not without Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. No way.
Oh, my goodness.
This ball. 404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. Follow us on social media. Put them up. See Dukes. Chris, give me your social media.
Yeah, at C. Thomas Radio.
Send those,
yeah.
Please, to him. Yep. Send them to him. Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game. This hour is brought to you by our friends at Buffalo Wild Wings. We love Buffalo Wild Wings. It's happy hour, man. It's Friday now and every Monday through Friday from 3 until 6. Make your way to Buffalo Wild Wings. We've got more in store. When we come back, we'll hear from that quarterback who's going to come out swinging in the quarterback report next. It is Dukes and Bell live at State Farm Arena. Hawks taking on Charlotte tonight. It is the second home game of the season for our Atlanta Hawks. More on that coming up with Steve Koonin, who is going to join us live at 6:20. As we are down here, you know, the Falcons 4-3, Bucks 4-3, facing each other for the second time in less than a month. And we know the Falcons won the earlier meeting, 36-30, in overtime. Overtime. And Kirk Cousins throwing four career best 509 yards, 4 touchdowns. We are not going to see, I do not believe, him do that again. None of these games are similar in that fashion where you go into another game with the same opponent and you say, oh, well, Kirk, he can throw for 500 yards. If the game dictates that, Turtle, so be it. But I don't believe this game plays out that way. And you've been talking about Baker Mayfield in the backfield, you know, running around like he's in his backyard. I feel like if I'm the Bucs, I am trying to run the football. I am trying to establish the run and get back to what they've been really good at, to be honest with you, so far this season. And obviously, I'm trying to take the Falcons' run game away. They did that in the first matchup, which is why Kirk had to do what he had to do. We're going to let you hear him coming up with Dave Archer in our quarterback report in just a second. But I don't think this is that hard. You know, if you're counting on second-year pro Trey Palmer, who you brought up, And former Giants receiver Sterling Shepard,
who scored a touchdown in the first game.
Oh, whoop-de-doo. That is not the game-changing playmakers that has made Tampa's offense one of the best in the league up to this point. Those guys are not going to be on the field on Sunday. 404-726-0929. It's Dukes and Bell. Chris is in for Mike today. And as we debate this, and I got a lot of social media response on this, Turtle. I hope they sent those messages to you about you being a non-believer. But bottom line is a lot of guys are saying, listen, the sacks, Dukes, doesn't it matter? I'm not saying it doesn't. But we're winning in spite of the fact that we are one of the last teams or we're second to last teams in the league in that category.
No. Last.
Any other positivity you want to talk about today?
Yeah, I think the Falcons should win this game.
It's about time.
Do I think they will?
It only took you 4 hours.
Do I think they will? I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
Last week showed me a lot.
Last week is last week.
I'm sick and tired of people downplaying that game. You got spanked, Carl, by a team that you're better than. And you got spanked at home, and you got spanked by a lot.
And they made mistakes.
Why are you bringing up old
Thank you. Why are you bringing up old stuff? They made mistakes that they normally don't make. Last week is last week. If you're caught up in last week, then you are mistakenly you're going about this the wrong way.
You know what? I'm going to quote a man that was near and dear to our hearts for a long time and now is not, and that's Arthur Smith. Because what did he say?
Convenient narrative.
That's a convenient narrative.
Yeah.
That's a convenient narrative, Carl. You know why? Because we were sure as heck looking back on last week when the Falcons were beating up on the divisional opponents. But now that we get spanked in a loss, oh, we don't look back at last week.
No, that's a convenient narrative.
Thank you, Coach. We were looking up last when you beat New Orleans, Carolina, and Tampa.
Did you say we beat the Saints?
Back to back.
You said we beat the Saints? We did beat the Saints.
But now that you get your butt whooped in your own building, oh, now we don't look back. We only look forward. Come on, man. Every game matters in the NFL. You can't tell me it doesn't.
No. I'm not saying it doesn't matter. But you know what? I mean, you're so caught up in what happened last week. This is where you get caught.
Because that was alarming. That was alarming.
They were flat, total.
Geno Smith should not look like the second coming of Joe Montana out there.
But Geno leads the league in passing yards. He's been doing this.
Okay, but he's fine. But he's not that good. He is not that good. We're going to look back in 10 weeks from now, and he's not going to be your NFL leading passer. Come on.
But this is how the league is. Let's hear from our quarterback. I got to hear from our quarterback. You just take a break for a second, and make sure you tweeted him, please.
I'm going to eat my Chinese food.
Kirk Cousins with Dave Archer. It's our quarterback report, guys. And, oh, by the way, it is brought to you by our wonderful friends up there at Lake Lanier, as we always have said, and they do a terrific job up there. It's only an hour away, by the way. Lanier Islands, go check it out. Here is our quarterback, Kirk Cousins.
This is the Falcons Quarterback Report. The Falcons Quarterback Report is brought to you by Rooms to Go. Buy the piece, save a little. Buy the room, save a lot. Here's Dave Archer.
Kirk, with the focus of the football team after a win and a loss can sometimes be different. This seems to be a very mature team. How did you like the way the focus kind of set up this week?
Yeah, I see guys, you know, getting right back to work and viewing it as a new week, fresh week. That's how you have to be in this league, win or loss. You say, all right, new week, fresh start. We begin again and let's go. And you know, that's your only chance to really be able to put a tough loss behind you and get back on the right track.
I know it's not a danger for you because you've been around this league a long time and you've thrown for a lot of yards in a lot of games. You've got some young guys that maybe realized some of their highs as a professional in this game last time you played Tampa. Any danger of them putting on the tape and saying, hey, this is going to be a walk in the park, we go take care of it again?
No, I think if anything it's a little bit of you know, what will Tampa do now? You know, having played that game, how do they choose to change? And then what you find in the NFL is at the end of the day, people are going to be who they've been. They're not going to completely reinvent the wheel. So also, what are we doing, you know, what are they doing that's the same? And we'll just have to see as the game goes. But expect some wrinkles, expect some curveballs. And we all know that every game is its own entity, and you really start from scratch and have to put together another strong performance to have a chance to win.
Sometimes you go into a game, I would assume going to a game, especially a quarterback has seen as much as you have, that you kind of get an idea it's going to be a track meet a little bit. And the last one was a bit of a track meet with you and Baker exchanging plays offensively. With some of the things that happened to them Monday night, does that change any of your mindset? Is that how you attack this game on their defensive?
Well, you know, I think they are a really good offense. We're going to have to keep our foot on the gas pedal, and we'll get a feel as the game goes on. And, you know, I learned last week against Seattle that, you know, even if we gave up a score before the half or we give up a score early in the third quarter, we're still in it. You know, you don't have to go force anything. That's when the game gets away from you, is when you start trying to force something to happen. So you be patient. You let the game come to you. And usually when you do that in pro football, you're there at the end.
They've got two smallish safeties in Jordan Whitehead, and now Antonio Winfield's back on the field. You mentioned there's going to be a couple of different guys on the field. Smallish guys, but kind of pesky, bulldogish type guys. What do you do with those two guys?
Yeah, they're the real deal. Winfield's as good as any safety in the league. He's a total package when it comes to making plays in the pass game, making plays in the run game, being a good blitzer, a finisher, a tackler, just being smart, tough. You know, he's a problem, and he was out last time. So that'll be a big challenge for us. Can't see the three technique was out as well last time. He's a great player, first-round pick. So they know that, and they're going to come loaded for bear.
All right, last thing for you. How do you neutralize the human solar system that is Vita Vea?
Yeah, you know, he's a problem. He's someone that you know going into the game. You know, we got to have a plan for him. We got to know where he is. We got to understand he can wreck the run game. He can be a factor in the pass game. And so, you know, there's an awareness when the O-line coach puts the plan together of, you know, how do we handle him. because you know, he's been doing it for years now, and it's one thing to let him do it if he sneaks up on you, but when you know what he's capable of, you got to try to game plan for it.
It's hard to win in this league. It's doubly hard to win on the road, yet sometimes there's a value in traveling, going, getting away from home. You guys won last time, you went to Carolina, you got a loss, you're coming off a loss, now you go to Tampa. Is there any value to that?
Well, there's certainly challenges going on the road with the noise and just being in a foreign environment. You don't have as much support around you, but to your point, it can galvanize your group, and you realize, hey, it's just the 53 of us and our coaching staff, and you'd like to think it sharpens your focus and forces you to bring your absolute best to the table.
Go have some fun.
All right, thanks, Art.
There he is, Kirk Cousins. We're talking about my quarterback. Guys hit me up. They said Ben Hill Trill says, if I was Tampa, I'd blitz us like crazy and try to get after Kirk Cousins. Listen, they're going to. They blitzed Lamar Jackson. The problem was then they got down in that game, and all of a sudden they had to kind of chill because Lamar was beating them. I think that they're going to come after Kirk Cousins, but we got to be ready for that. And that's where our wide receivers, whether it's being, you know, Darnell Mooney. What's up, Darnell? Or it's Drake London or Kyle Pitts or anybody. Bijan. Guys, we got to be ready for that. But, Ben, I hear you. I think they are going to come after Cousins.
Your boy's gone a little quiet the past couple of weeks.
Well, you know what? You got to spread the rock around. Kirk did not have his best day last week.
No.
He did not. And, you know, you go from, again, that 500-yard performance where everybody touched it, everybody looked like superstars, to last week where his last two possessions were interceptions. And then they took him out. So, and being in this position to be back in the playoffs, first thing we said to him is, did you think you'd be here in this position?
Going on to your question, it certainly has been a wild year. You know, but what I would say is we never lost that belief. You know, there was games that probably we should have got more from that we didn't. Then there were some games that you're looking, you're saying, wow, can't believe they got out of there with maybe a point or maybe a win at times. And then we put ourselves in a position going into the last game, Orlando away, with the idea that, listen, if we take care of our business, and we knew we needed some help elsewhere, but if we took care of our business, then we'd give ourselves a chance. And, you know, crazier things have happened. And then sure enough, lo and behold, some help from the outside, you know, got us in, and here we are.
But you made the most of it. I mean, that was one of the most exciting matches. Obviously, not as exciting for you because it's obviously, you know, pins and needles. We're watching a 2-0 lead kind of go. It had to be so weird both times. We haven't had a chance to talk to you since you last played Montreal. But, you know, Joseph, I saw you hugging Joseph after the match and, you know, having Joseph take a penalty on you. That's always got to be weird, right?
No, for sure. You know, and obviously it was a bit heated, like in the midst of the game, right? But it's two guys that are competing at the highest level. And, you know, we spoke, obviously, you know, we speak quite regularly. You know, him and I obviously are good friends and we've got a good relationship, but when you cross that white line, man, it's you put friendships aside and so there's a bit of jawing back and forth and, you know, blood was boiling, that's for sure. Thankfully for us, we were able to come out on top at the end of the night.
Brad Guzan joining us, guys. Again, the first leg of this three-game series is tomorrow night in Fort Lauderdale as we get Miami. The second match will be at home. That's Saturday, November 2nd at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Brad, take me inside of these penalty kicks, man. And what I mean by that is we win. Saba converts the fifth and final penalty kick to get the victory. But as your job, how do you defend it? I mean, is it all reactionary? Are you looking for signs that a guy's going to tip you one way or the other? What's going on with you in those moments?
I mean, I think, you know, I wouldn't say it's reactionary. I think you try to do a little study and little homework and looking at different clips leading into it, right? But at the end of the day, players are so good now, they can disguise which way they're going to go. Are they going to go to the goalie's right, to the left, you know, high or low? And so you try and give yourself as best of a chance to make the save, and hopefully if you go the right way, you're able to keep it out, and luckily I was able to keep one of the five out, and our guys did the rest. And so in that moment, you know, like I said, if you could save one, you give us a right. You give the team a chance to hopefully go and convert ours. And you know, fair play to our guys, because it takes a lot of guts, for lack of a better word, right, to get up there and step up and convert it. So fair play to our guys.
it's not like it's a 5 foot putt or a free throw because it's you versus another dude, right? Yeah. I mean, as you said, he can zigger zag. It's Brad Guzan. Again, we haven't talked to him since. It was crazy. March, you could not lose. And then 2 months, we couldn't win. And then all of a sudden, we got out at the right time. And now, after doing a great job in that match in Montreal, your prize is taking on an entire Barcelona all-star team. So how do you – I mean, you know these guys. We all know these guys. So how do you prepare for these guys?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we talked about wanting to be in this position, right? And so, yeah, it is what it is in terms of the opposition. But we wanted to put ourselves in this position, and I've always said once you get into the playoffs, anything can happen. We've seen crazier things, and so we know it's going to be a tough run of games against a good Miami team that obviously has some pretty well known players. But with that being said, we believe in our group, we believe in our guys, and it's not going to be easy. Obviously, it's an extreme, it's a quick turnaround in terms of rest and time between games. And so from that side of things, we've got to be, mentally strong and mentally ready. Because, again, it's not going to be easy on the road in their stadium against a really good team. But with that being said, we feel that we've got enough in our locker room to go out there and get the job done.
All right, two-parter for you here. One, what has changed with Rob Valentino, if anything? And two, do you want him to get the full-time job?
Right.
two big questions. No, listen, the first thing with Rob, right, is he's somebody that puts obviously everything he's got into the club and into the group and into the team. And so when you have someone that leads by example, when you have someone that cares as much as he does in terms of the different roles and responsibilities that he's held within the club, I mean, you go back to the beginning for him, and he's held every position, I think, on within the staff that there is to hold. And so to see the success that he's been able to get out of the group, that part's been fantastic. And in terms of his ability to lead us and lead our group and inspire, I think I saw something from Steon the other day just talking about how we're peaking at the right time, and that's what you want. You want somebody that's going to be able to put you in a position to go out there and be successful and go out there and get a result. And he's been able to do that. And as a manager, as a coach, as a leader, that's somebody who you are going to go to battle for. You're going to roll your sleeves up and say, yeah, it is what it is. And we're going out there, we're going to give everything. And at the end of 90 minutes, we'll see where the chips fall.
Well, hey, man, before we cut you loose, as Carl said at the onset, you've always been gracious with your time with us, man. And, people love rooting for you from your caps with the U.S. men's national team. Next year, bro, are you coming back? Is this it? Is this the swan song? Because I know they ran some young guys at you at camp this year.
And you got them up out of there.
And you kept the job. So what's the story?
You got them up out of there.
I appreciate it. No, listen, I don't know, guys. I don't know. Listen, I told you guys at the beginning I was going to take it one day at a time, and that's what I've been doing in terms of training, in terms of games. We've obviously got a couple tough ones coming up, but I feel good. I feel good mentally. I feel good physically. And for me, I want to keep going because I still have that burning desire within my belly of, yeah, I want to go out there and compete. And so, hopefully I'm able to carry on doing that.
You look good. Bro, do you like this whole we play tomorrow and then we got to wait a week? And then if there's a game three, we got to wait another week?
Oh, he needs to rest, Carl. He's 40.
I know, but like there's two parts of that, right? I mean,
I look 21, don't I?
You do. But listen, Brad, like, don't you want these to happen pretty quickly? I mean, this whole
– You do. Listen, you do, right? Because when you're in a good moment, and I've always said this to you guys, when you're in a good moment, you want the games to come thick and fast. You want to play games, right? And that's where you get the buzz. It's not from training. It's going out in front of a sold out stadium and competing and going up against an opposition, and that's where that fire comes from. And so you want those opportunities, and especially when you're playing well, you want that ability to do that. Obviously, this week is an extreme case in terms of such a quick turnaround with the travel to Montreal, back to Atlanta, now in Miami. So they're certainly going to be a little bit of a rest period from game one to game two. But for us, we can't worry about that right now. We've got to give everything into game one, and then we'll regroup and get ready for game two.
All right, man. Good luck. We right appreciate on. You. As always, you're our dude, man. Good luck with everything, and we'll be cheering you on, brother.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
There he is, Brad Guzan with Mike and I yesterday. Good luck to Atlanta United tonight. Again, the game on Star 94. And Mike Conte and Jason Longshore will have all of that coverage for you tonight as we will have Hawks basketball here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, we're giving away a pair of tickets right now to Winterfest. We've been doing it all week long. The All White Affair Volume 2 concert starring Escape, BBD, Q Parker and Friends, also featuring Carl Thomas, Soul For Real, Silk, plus many more to be announced. Tickets on sale at Ticketmaster.com. The concert itself is December 20th right here at State Farm Arena, 8 o'clock. If you want tickets, call 404-726-0929. Caller number 9 is going to win the tickets here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game just for listening to Dukes and Bell.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.